We know that with life, maybe health issues, maybe physical things, there can be at times a just live with it kind of permanent state. I wish I could fix this, but I can't. It can't go back to the way it used to be. But spiritually speaking, God can use that physical state as his solution, because God is at work. God uses physical things, and he uses them to bring in his solution. Life is complicated. There isn't a solution. Oh, yes, there is. It may not be the one you and I want, but there is a solution if we believe what is true about God. And so the choices that we make, it really is a simple choice, an A or B choice. Will I believe that God has a solution, or will I believe that I have to find my own, or that there is no solution, and so I'm going to try to just do the best that I can? A simple view of life. We can believe that things are very complicated and impossible to figure out and impossible to really truly solve, and so you just do the best you can, or we can believe that there is a solution and we can have a simple view of life. A choice. Our life doesn't have to be complicated like this. We may travel long and winding roads in our life that includes many steps and stages, and those paths will contain far more than we thought they would, yet our approach to life and our focus in life can and should be very simple. And the Lord's really been teaching this to me in the last few months and years. I don't know the specific conditions that life will bring on a given day, and so in that way it's very complicated. Who knows what'll happen, but my approach to life and my goal in life can be very simple. You know, it doesn't really matter what happens today. My focus is going to be the same. It's going to be very basic, very simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. Complications, again, make us want to give up. They overwhelm us. They make us want to quit and just do whatever we want to do. But you don't have to be disillusioned. You don't have to be overwhelmed. You don't have to make unbiblical choices. I want to encourage you to follow the simple design for life that the Lord Jesus Christ describes for us in our text. Christ, I mentioned building a bridge a few minutes ago, and I am no engineer. I don't know very much about it, but I do know that a good engineer will make a simple design. The simplest is often the best, and the more complicated it gets, the more points of failure there are, and it will often fail. A simple design is what a good engineer will do, and God, of course, is the perfect engineer. He and his design is perfect. And so let's pray, and then we'll consider from John 15 life's simple design. Very simple design, and it can simplify your life if you'll let it. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us to simplify our thoughts, our thinking, simplify our motives and our priorities, simplify our beliefs. The devil wants to complicate things. The devil wants to add noise and muddy the waters and make life seem very difficult and overwhelming. God wants to simplify things. There are many things beyond our control. We'll never control life. But we can choose to approach it very simply as God has designed. And we can have answers, real solutions. We can have joy. We can have victory. And we can bear fruit. Lord, would you help us to simplify our thinking today? Would you help us to see that life really is very simple and help us to make the right choice? In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to John chapter 15. And we're going to read more than just three verses before we're done, but our text comes from the first three verses. Very simple passage, very simple idea that the Lord is describing, and he goes on to develop it in the chapter, and we'll do that in future weeks perhaps. I expect that we will, but very simple design for life that the Lord gives to us this morning. Let's read John 15, verses 1 to 3. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Very simple passage, very brief passage. We know, and I've mentioned this many times as we've been studying the Gospel of John, this is the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He's with his 11 apostles. Judas has left the upper room, and he is teaching his apostles. They are believers. They are saved. They are children, sons of God. And they're in heaven today, and I will meet them one day, and I hope you will too. And what a blessing that will be. But he is teaching them specifically. And so the truths that he is giving, his audience, original audience, is the saved. And we're going to apply it this way. But the truths also apply to the lost. And we'll talk about that. And so no matter if you are lost or saved this morning, there are some things here for you to take away. A simple design for life. But first of all, I want to see life's simple foundation. Life's simple foundation. Your life and my life ought to have a very simple foundation, very basic, easy to get a hold of, easy to remember. And the Lord, as you see here, he is using grape vineyards as an illustration. And we know that growing grapes has been an important part of Israel's agriculture. It's not a huge, from what I could determine, it's not a huge percentage of their GDP and their agriculture today, but they still do it. And some scientists believe that the ancient Holy Land was the source of all domesticated grapes in the world. I thought that was interesting. The climate there is highly conducive to growing grapes, and wild grapes thrive there. I wish we had wild grapes thriving around here. I enjoy eating grapes, and I think it's a little cold for a lot of things, including grapes. I think it can be done, but not like there. And grapes thrive there, and especially domesticated and cultivated grapes. It's a very important part of the culture, and certainly used to be even more so. And the Lord was using this as an illustration, and they would have understood this. He is using grapes to illustrate life's simple design. If your life is going to stand and endure and be successful and grow and go on for the Lord, if it's going to not be destroyed, it must have an enduring foundation. We know this, that a building must have a good foundation. And we see here the foundation in verse 1. John 15, verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." He's laying the foundation for this illustration, and he puts the focus on God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. And we see God in two of the members of the Trinity. Christ, he says, "I am the true vine." That's Christ. And my Father, God the Father, is the husbandman. He says, "I am the true vine." The one vine, the real vine. The ultimate one. We know that wild fruit and wild vegetables or wild flowers are not the same as domesticated ones. And we were noticing some wild flowers this week and how there are wild versions of the kind that people grow and cultivate, and they're not the same. They don't have the same product. We know that I've picked wild raspberries, for instance, and they're delicious, but they're often much smaller, not as sweet. And you don't get as much out of them. I don't know if you're able to make jam, for instance, very easily from wild raspberries. The domesticated and cultivated ones are so much bigger and juicier and easier to reap a bountiful harvest. Wild fruits can be delicious, but they're not nearly as productive and robust as the domesticated ones. Christ says, "I am the true vine." He's the spiritual vine. This is a spiritual statement he's making. And I think about how many people look elsewhere for spiritual help. They're looking to what we might say to wild vines, wild sources, other sources, not the true one, but other things. And it seems to be a copy. It seems to be an equivalent, but it doesn't give real help. They think they find help. They might say things like, "Well, this works for me." And there are innumerable philosophies out there. If you're looking for help, You can find a philosophy that will work, or seem to, for a time. And then you might say, well, you know, that doesn't work for me anymore. Let me go searching again. Hey, this is what I need. Oh, this just helps me. This is my truth. Oh, it doesn't work for you. That's fine. You find your truth. Well, this is my truth over here. This works for me, and that works for you. Well, we found our solution, haven't we? Jesus says, I am the true vine, and there's only one. He doesn't say, I am one of the true vines. I am the true vine. There's only one. There is no substitute for the vine. Again, thinking about this grapevine and the branches, and he goes on in this passage to talk about branches. You can cut a branch off a tree or off a vine. You can cut a flower and stick it in water, and it will do well for a short amount of time, but then it will die because a pitcher or a vase of water is not the same thing as the vine. There is no substitute for the vine, no wild vine, no other means of survival and sustenance will work. Only the vine can cause the branches to grow and produce healthy fruit. He says, I am the true vine. Look at Matthew chapter 7, and we'll see some very simple statements. Christ makes things simple for us. We need to believe what he says. You can go off and look for another substitute, another vine. You won't find one. He is the true vine. This is life's very simple foundation, and so many people spend their entire lives trying to find something else that will work, and maybe they think they do, but they always end up empty. And life becomes very complicated when we don't have the right foundation. Christ is giving us a very simple one. Matthew 7, verse 16. Jesus says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Do you get grapes from a thorn tree or a thorn bush? Do you get figs from a thistle tree? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This is a very simple statement here. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Don't listen to what they say. Anybody can say anything. Look at the fruit that their life produces. Very simple approach. I can't see your heart. You can't see my heart. But we can observe the fruits that our lives produce. Tells us a lot about each other. Verse 21, here's another simple approach. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. People can call and do call Christ their Lord. That doesn't mean he is. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Look at all that we've done for you. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, how do you analyze all that people do and say? They seem like such a good person. Very simple answer. Does Christ know them? Are they his? Are they saved? That's what will matter in that day of judgment. It's not about what you do or think you know or tell other people to do. Does Christ know you as his child? That's a very simple test. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And this is the foundation we're talking about. If you don't have the right foundation, your life is going to fall. Your life is going to fail. We spend a lot of time painting the walls and putting on the siding and the roofing and getting nice windows put in. But if the foundation is faulty, our life will not amount to anything of spiritual value, eternal value. The focus here in this illustration is not put on the house itself, it's put on the foundation. And if our life is not built on the right foundation, we will not stand before the Lord prepared one day. We will be judged and will be in hell for all eternity in the lake of fire. Christ is the true vine. There are many counterfeits out there. There are many alternatives and other options, and maybe even some here this morning are saying, well, that sounds nice, but I've listened to so-and-so, and they give a very different picture. I don't want you to listen to what I'm saying. I want you to pay attention to what the Word of God says. This is what matters. I don't have any wisdom of my own to give you. Anything worth giving is found in the Word of God. It's His Word. He is giving us the real foundation that we need. It's a very simple truth. Christ is the true vine. There's only one. No other person can bring you real deliverance. No other religious leader or philosophical position will give you true help. Christ is the true vine. Are you in Him today? And then Jesus goes on in John 15, He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The word husbandman means gardener. And again, Jesus is proceeding with this illustration. You know about vineyards and grapevines and how it produces grapes, and you can eat grapes, you can drink fresh grape juice. They ferment grape juice into alcoholic wine, and the Bible is condemning of the use of alcohol as a beverage, and we believe that, we practice that. But this is what people do with grapes, and we understand a vineyard is part of that, and the husbandman is the gardener. He's caring for the grapevines. He is responsible for all of that, and a gardener removes the weeds. He waters the vine. He gets rid of pests, insects, wild animals that would come in and harm the vine. The husbandman would tend the vine regularly, and if you give that kind of attention to your garden, it will flourish. Every day you come in, you watch its growth, that the husbandman would prepare for the harvest. He would keep the vineyard's walls in good repair and would care for the soil. The vine's entire environment was under the husbandman's care and watchful eye, and they would have known this. I've never cared for a grapevine. Maybe you haven't either. But these people would know, these men would know what Christ was talking about. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. My Father is the one overseeing my ministry, Jesus was saying. He is the one who sent me. He is the one who commissioned me. He is the one who is leading me. I am submitted to the will of the Father. And these are truths that He kept on repeating throughout His ministry. The foundation that our life must be built upon is Christ is the vine, and the Father, God the Father, is overseeing it all. He is over it all. He is the spiritual husbandman. I found it interesting that the Bible uses this illustration elsewhere as well. Isaiah 60, verse 21, it says, Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Matthew 15, 13, it says, But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 20, verse 1, For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 9, For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, and God the Father is overseeing His children. He is caring for them and tending to them. Christ is the vine. You and I must be connected to the Lord. We see later in John, we'll read it, John 15, that we are to be branches connected to the vine. But it's a very simple foundation. Who is the one that's going to help me? Who is the one that's going to make me fruitful and profitable? Who is the one that's going to protect me and care for me? It's not you and me. We're not going to do it. You can try and you'll be frustrated. Life will get very complicated. You'll start to see, well, it's their fault. I'm doing my best and they're stopping me. And these conditions are at fault. No, God is the one that we ought to be focused on. Very simple foundation. If we're going to be fruitful in life, if we're going to be fulfilled in life and secure in life and joyful in life, the foundation has to be God. Can't be your pleasure, can't be financial success, can't be found in your friends, can't be found in popularity or anything like that. You're not going to be happy because you have good health I'm thankful for good health, but it doesn't bring me true lasting joy. The foundation must be God. The husbandman works with the vine to produce grapes. We know that God the Father sent God the Son to this world to save sinners. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If your life is not built on God, you will perish. It's a very simple truth. Your life is either founded on God or it's not. Very simple approach to life. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." This is what he did. He came into the world to save sinners. Life can be very complicated, and if you talk to many religious people from all kinds of religions, you'll come away saying, wow, you know, knowing God must be very complicated, because they say this is true, and they say this other thing is true, and these other people say I have to do something completely different, and then this one over here says just do whatever you want and God will understand. This is complicated. How can we know? Do I just figure it out on my own? How do I know if I'm right? What if I'm wrong? Very simply, we have to believe God's word. God told us what is true, and our life must be founded on him. Life can be complicated, but your life's foundation doesn't have to be. Christ is the true vine, and God the Father is the husbandman. Your life will be stable if it's grounded in the true vine. This is life's simple foundation. Very, very simple, very easy to understand. Is your life built on Christ? Well, I'm not really sure what that means. We would love to take a Bible and show you. It's found, it begins with salvation. Let's go back to John 15. I want to show you life's simple need. Life's simple foundation. We think we need a lot of things, but our real need is very simple. John 15, verse 3, Jesus says to his apostles, he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." If I were to ask you, what do you need in life? You'd probably have a few things. If we were to go out on the street and ask that question to random people, we'd probably find a lot of different answers. Oh, you know, my boss, I need a different boss. I need a different job. I'd like a different set of friends. I'd like to have a, you know, whatever. All kinds of, this is what I really need. I mean, a lot of other things I can do without, but this is what's important. No, you and I have the same basic need. It's very simple. Very simple need. It's not very complicated. The Bible tells us repeatedly what our primary need is. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Again, it's good to simplify life, because you and I can get into a mode where we're chasing rabbits all the time, and we think this is what we need, and we go chasing off after that rabbit, so to speak, and we might catch it, we might not. But then we get distracted onto this other thing, and we pursue that for a while, and then we get involved in this other thing, and we just spend our life from one thing to the other. God wants to simplify it for us. He wants us to be continuing to pursue the things that are really important, and they're accessible, they're attainable. Romans 3, verse 10. It says, "As it is written," meaning the scriptures have already recorded this. It's quoting the word of God here. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." This is a very simple concept. Because you and I have different backgrounds, you and I have different talents, And the more I get to know people, the more I appreciate when I see that they have strengths that I don't. I am thankful. And we have men in this church, many folks in this church, we're getting ready for our camp this week. And I'm so thankful for the strengths and the talents and abilities that you have, the time and all these resources that I don't have. I'm thankful that we're different and we can help each other in this way. But we all have something in common. It's the most basic thing in common. It's that we are not righteous before God. We are not good people. We are not holy. We are not sinless. We are not good at all. In the sight of God, we are all unprofitable. We are all wicked. We all have the same need. It's not very complimentary to say that. It doesn't feel good to hear that. But this is our simple need. You don't need to have more education. You don't need to have more this, more. You need, I need, to be right with God. We need to have our sin problem taken care of. We are unprofitable. We don't do good. This passage in Romans goes on to describe the wickedness of man. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." I'm thankful that in Christ, this can be a past tense state where we are as an unclean thing and our iniquities have taken us away. We can be cleansed, and we're going to talk about that. We can be right with God. But even as a saved person, I still have to live with my wicked flesh. I still have the potential to sin. And I hate that. It grieves me. I wish I did not sin. I wish I could just be sinlessly perfect from here on out. One day I'll have a glorified body and I won't sin anymore. What a day that will be. But this simple truth that we are sinners and we grieve God with our sin, this is true for us our whole physical life on this earth. If you're lost, this is all that you are. You are only filthy. You are only estranged from God. You are only God's adversary. You need to be cleansed. It's your simple need. As a saved person, we continually need to be cleansed, not to be saved and have eternal life, that's forever, but so that we can come back into fellowship with God. I'm saved and I know it, I'm God's child, but sometimes I choose myself. Sometimes I choose to sin. I choose to do the wrong thing. And as long as I stay in that state, I am at odds with God. I am not in fellowship with Him. I'm resisting Him. I need to be cleansed and come back into fellowship and communion with Him and be walking with Him again. It's still a simple need. We need to be cleansed. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Many people try to do that. Why is this so important? Because of what the Bible tells us about God. Habakkuk 1:13 says, "Thou art," speaking of God, "thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." People can feel sanguine about their sin because, you know what, look around me. Yeah, we all make mistakes. We're all the same. No big deal. God's not like that. God doesn't make mistakes. God's not wicked. God's not vile. Psalm 5:4 says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." This is our need. We need to be cleansed because God is holy. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Many people feel good about their holiness. And I say to them, you need to look closer in Scripture. You need to get a better look at God's holiness. An illustration that's been made many times over the years, I think it's a good one. Imagine you're walking down the sidewalk late at night, and the street lights are on, but they're far apart, and so you're in between. It's pretty dark where you are. The street light's a ways off, and it's pretty dark around you, and a car drives by and runs through a puddle and splashes you with the muddy water, and you look at your clothes and you say, well, it's not too bad. And you keep walking and you get closer to the street light and you look down and say, oh, it's worse than I thought. Finally, you're under the streetlight and you say, this is terrible. I have to go home and change. I can't go anywhere like this. What was the difference? Well, I just got dirtier with every step I took. No, you were always that dirty. You just got closer to the light. This is the light of God's word. This shows us God's holiness. You think you're righteous and holy? Get a closer look at God and his word. You'll find out. As Job said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I am vile. Well, you don't understand me, preacher. If you got to know me better, you'd think more highly of me. I don't need to know you. God's shown me me. And it says, all are unprofitable. All have sinned. I'm ashamed of my wicked flesh. I abhor it. It's wicked. It's vile. Not because I compare myself to others around me and see how bad I am. We compare ourselves to God. That's what Isaiah did in Isaiah 6:5. He says, he saw God high and lifted up in his throne room, and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. This is a prophet speaking. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. There is no need in our life that is greater than this one. We need to be cleansed. How can we be cleansed? Psalm 119:9 says, a young man cleanses his way, he says, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is what will bring you cleansing. Our greatest need is to be cleansed of our sin, to be forgiven, to be brought into fellowship and union with God. How is that possible? It won't be our good works, because everything we touch with our contaminated hands, everything we touch is contaminated. We need someone to cleanse us, and that someone is the one who ought to be our foundation. He's Christ. He's God. He will cleanse us, meeting our greatest need. It's a very simple need. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians. It shows us the complete 180 that God wants to do to accomplish in our lives. Our simple problem is our sin. Our simple need is to be cleansed of it. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Now, the epistle of 1 Corinthians was written to the church that was in the city of Corinth. The city of Corinth was a very wicked city. It was a busy, bustling city. It was sort of a melting pot of cultures and different sets of morals, and they lived in a very wicked and vile place, immoral place, and these people were saved out of those lifestyles. And Paul says to them in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? This is our greatest need. We're unrighteous, and in that state we will not be God's child. We will not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. We sang earlier about being washed and sanctified, being cleansed in the blood of Christ. You can have your guilt taken away. This is what the Lord wants to do for you. This is our simple need. Have you been cleansed? When did the Lord forgive your sin? When did he wash you clean in the blood of Christ? When were you made a new creature? When were you born again and born into God's family? Well, you know, I go to church. That's not what I'm asking. Well, you know, I went through catechism when I was a child. That's not what I'm asking. Well, I was baptized. No, that's not what I mean. But I grew up in a Christian family. That's not what I'm talking about. We are all as an unclean thing. We are all wicked sinners. We need Christ to wash us in his shed blood. Have you been cleansed? If you have, then you have all that you truly need in Christ. Complete in thee, we sang that earlier, and we see this idea in Hebrews 13:5, which says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you're saved, your life, your sin is cleansed. You are justified before God. Your guilt is taken away. You're a child of God. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and abides with you forever. He never leaves you, and he will protect you. He will guide you. He will provide for you. He will lead you through as long as you're willing to follow. And we don't need to be looking around us, oh, I need that. I have to have that. I have to go after that. No, you have the Lord. You have everything you need. He may not give me what I want when I want it, but that is very different than meeting my needs. My children don't always get what they want when they want it. But that doesn't mean I don't provide for their needs. God is a much better father. This is life's simple need. When were you cleansed? When were you saved? Are you a child of God? When were you born again? Let's go back to John 15. We'll see the last thing. John chapter 15. Again, a very simple design for life. The foundation is God. If you don't have God, if he's not your father, if your life is not grounded and founded in him, you're missing everything. Life's very simple foundation. Life's simple need. Have you been cleansed? Have you been saved? If you haven't, anything else you can pursue will not satisfy you. You're going to be empty. And I don't want you to spend years proving that to be true. Life's simple need. Let's look at life's simple purpose. John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. A vineyard had one simple purpose, to produce grapes. I don't think they had contests for how beautiful the vineyard was. The owner was interested in the bottom line. Let's produce grapes. Let's have a crop. And you and I want purpose in our life. What if your life didn't matter? Any day you could do whatever you wanted and it wouldn't matter. It's the same. If you did nothing or if you worked hard all day long, it's equivalent. Nothing, no one matter, nothing matters. No one cares. It doesn't impact anyone. You could do it or not and it's all the same. We would be very depressed. People look for purpose. They're looking for a cause. They're looking for some sort of goal to shoot for. And we need purpose. And this is it. Life's simple purpose. A branch is just a branch. It's not much. Can't do much, but it can bear fruit. It can be connected to the vine. It can be under the care and supervision of the husbandman. Look at verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. It's a great thing to see an apple tree just loaded with apples. It's great to see, you know, a green bean, just loaded with green beans, whatever vegetable or fruit, you imagine it. It's great to see much fruit, and what a wonderful thing for your life and my life to bear much fruit that glorifies God and helps others. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. That's the foundation. If you're not in Christ, if you're still in your sins, you haven't been cleansed, that's your need. But once you've been cleansed, what's our purpose? To bear fruit. And the Lord wants to do that in us. God the Father wants you to come to him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God wants you to be under his care. He wants you to be cleansed. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." God wants you to bear much fruit. Look at John 15:8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." The fruit is on the branches, but the branches can't do it by themselves. We say, wow, that vine is really healthy. It's really producing a lot of fruit. That gardener knows what he's doing. He has cultivated this vine, and you and I are the same way. God wants us to bear fruit for him, not so that we can get the glory. We're sinners. We have a need to be cleansed. We can't do anything of ourselves, but Christ wants to work through us and use us. God wants to be glorified in us. It's a great purpose. It's a wonderful purpose. People want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. What greater purpose is there than to know and serve the God of eternity and see him use you in your daily life? But it can only happen if you're cleansed, forgiven, saved. It can only happen if your life is built on the simple foundation. Is your life complicated today? Are you tempted to believe that there are no real answers or solutions? Are you inclined to quit or just look out for yourself and do the best you can? Don't be deceived into thinking that life is that complicated. Your life can have a simple foundation. Christ is the true vine. God the Father is the husbandman. Fasten your life on the bedrock of God's character. He keeps his promises. He never fails. This is what your life ought to be founded upon. You have a simple need. You need to be cleansed of your sin and brought into peace and fellowship with God the Father through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And you might be thinking, this is new to me. I'm not really sure how that applies, what I'm supposed to do next. We'd love to talk to you about it. We'd love to go into more depth. I don't have time to answer all questions in this hour, but we'd love to meet with you one-on-one and answer your questions from the Word of God. The Lord wants to cleanse you of your sins. Don't get drawn aside by life's many distractions. Nothing is as important as your need of cleansing and forgiveness. Your life has a simple purpose: to produce spiritual, eternal fruit through the power of Christ and the work of God the Father. He wants to be glorified in your life. You and I were made to do this. A branch exists to bear fruit. That's its purpose. You and I were made. We exist. We were created to bear fruit to God's glory. That will bring the greatest fulfillment and satisfaction to ourselves in the process. Don't waste the precious years of your life on this earth trying to sort out and figure out life's complicated situations. If you will seek after the simple and truly valuable things, you'll be blessed by life's simple design. God designed it very simply. And he'll answer those complicated questions in physical things. He'll answer those as we go along, only if we approach it very simply. God is the foundation. I need to be cleansed and brought into fellowship with God so that I can bear fruit. Very simple daily approach, and it will bring clarity and rest to our daily life. Let's pray. Lord, would you work?